things that happened that have messed me up, man, I'm telling you. My phone died, and so I got another one. And then my iPad died last night. God bless them. So I'm going to be, for the first time in my life, I'm going to be on preaching off of my phone and this thing here. So I don't know. I don't know how this is going to go. I have no idea. I know that I was not ready. And now I've got... That's not right. Let me see here. I'm going to be with you in just a minute, okay? There it is. There it was. I had it. Got it. Oh, it's been a rough week at CCAM. We lost two people. But you know what? We're here to celebrate a resurrection. You know, and they've got resurrection power. And so, I'm not going to go any further than that. It's just that, you know, we got people hurting. We need to meet their needs. We need to make their life as easy as possible for a while. But anyhow, have you ever, have you ever seen people that they seem to have all the life skills that you would need to live a successful life? You know, they've got it all, and they just can't seem to put it all together and make it work. Quit, Greg. You know, they just can't seem to put all of the stuff together. They're smart. They've got a good personality. All this stuff is good, but they can't put it together. They just can't make it work. They just can't make life work and be successful. And there's a table with a puzzle on it, and they can't even find the corner pieces, you know? They can't put everything together and make it work. They can't put that perfect picture because they just can't seem to put all the pieces together. There's pieces of their life missing, and a lot of that's from hurt and from unforgiveness and so many different things. But today, that's what this message is about. The reason that they can't put the pieces together is it because they're looking for a life in dead places. They're looking for, what was that song? Looking for life in all the wrong places? I know, but I changed it. They're looking for life in all the wrong places. You know, and they're not looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. They're looking everywhere else, and nothing fits together without Him in your life. Your marriage is going to suffer. Your relationship with the children is going to suffer. Everything's going to suffer. Why? Because you're looking for life in wrong places. And so today, that's what I want to talk about for a minute. Sorry. Got my sticker on there. What's important is, you know, the corners. If you can find the corners of a puzzle, you got a starting place, don't you? People can't live life without a cornerstone. They just can't do it. Jesus is the cornerstone of everything that we do. Go to Luke, the 24th chapter, real quick. This is one of my favorite things right here, man. Lazarus. And Jesus is coming to Bethany, where Lazarus was lived and continued to live after this day. But he's going up there, and Mary and Martha have both come to him, and they said the same thing. They met him at different times going there, but they both said the same thing. They said, Lord, if you'd been here, this would not have happened. Really? If you'd been here, were they complaining? Or are they just saying, you know, I know who you are, and I would love to think they were saying, you know, we know that you're the Lord, and that you know, if you'd been here, this wouldn't happen. I think they may have been complaining a little bit. Where were you at, man? We sent word to you 4 days ago that he was sick, and now here you are, and he's dead. And Jesus would just, you know, I'm here now. What's the difference? So anyway, the 24th chapter, the first verse is, now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them, I'm sorry, this is a different scripture. This is when I'll get into Lazarus. This is when the third day, this is on Easter, the very first Easter, okay? First annual Easter. Mary is coming in, and man, they're going to put some spices on the body, and they were going to have some help to get the stone moved away so they could go in and do the things, and then the guards had to roll the stone back. I mean, it was a process, you know. But they go there, and the stone's rolled away. The stone's not there. And so they just, of course, what do you do when you see an open door? You look in. And so they looked in, and there was no Jesus there. But there were two angels. One of them sat at where Jesus' feet were supposed to be, and one at Jesus' head was supposed to be. And this is where they are. And they came to the tomb bringing spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. I already told you this. Quick. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. He was gone. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed. I would have been greatly perplexed too. Greatly perplexed by this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. 5. And then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? Jesus ain't here. He's not in the graveyard. He's not here. Why do you look for the living among the dead? We have got, I'm telling you, that can be preached to every single person on planet Earth. We look for life in dead places. I didn't meet my wife in a bar. I took her to a few afterwards, but I corrupted her. You know what my mother said? You know what my mother said about her? When we were going to get married, we told my mother, said, we're going to get married. My mother didn't look at me. She looked at Ginger and she said, this is a mistake. My son will corrupt you. That's a true story. Am I telling the truth, Ginger? And I did. You know? But thank God she stuck with it and you know, 15 years later, I got to say, you know, it's just a funny story. But we look for the living among the dead. If you don't believe me, man, I'm going to give you some examples. Christians are the most hateful people in the world. That's what the world thinks. They think, I hate Muslims. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate anybody. But see, you've got a few morons up there that get up there and they preach and they, you know, blah, 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 blah. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate Hindus. I don't hate Buddhists. I mean, I don't hate anybody. Because if I did, I wouldn't have the love of God within me. I don't hate those people. There's no group of people that I hate except the New York Yankees. And number 2 is Dallas Cowboys. All those people are going to hell. No, I'm joking. Who's, you know, y'all know who my favorite football team is, right? Whoever's playing against the Dallas Cowboys, I don't care who they are. But I don't hate anybody. The LGBTQ, I don't know what they're called, but I know what they represent, and I don't hate any of them. None. But we get blamed for hate because the world's looking for life in the dead places. They think that we're the ones that are crazy. If you don't read, if you don't believe me, go to Paul Gray International Ministries Facebook page. Whoo! They say stuff about me and my mother and, they say bad stuff. We have to delete all the cuss words because I'm saying something, making a quote or something like that, and they just start preaching to me how bad a person I am. And, you get some going. It's interesting. I like it. I mean, the more critics you get, that means the more you're doing, right? So I kind of enjoy reading it from time to time. And, I said, what? They said I was a CIA agent one time. Yeah, I was in the mafia. All kind of stuff. Those people hate me, and I don't even dislike them. I know, say what you want. It doesn't matter. Yeah, well, it is good for a laugh. If you can't appreciate that and find some humor in that, something's wrong. I'm telling you. They call me all kind of stick, all kind of names. Jesus said that was going to happen. He said, if you act like me, they're going to treat you like me. And boy, do you see what they did to me on it about 3 days before Easter? They beat me, slapped to death nearly, and then hung me on a cross. Boy, if I'm the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, what do you think they're going to do to you? If you don't have any critics, you're probably not living a good Christian life. Boy, that's not a good thing to say. This is supposed to be an aren't you glad sermon, isn't it? Aren't you glad Jesus died on the cross? Aren't you glad there's an empty tomb? Aren't you glad? See, I just can't do that. I just can't do it. I wish I could. But I can't. But I've got to get to the truth of the matter. We get a little bit of persecution, and then we say, it's the last days. Look up. We're begging for the rapture when we get, a virus. People think Jesus is coming back in 2021, and he might, but I'd be really shocked. Because there's over 2 billion people on this earth that have never heard the name of Jesus. It's not going to happen until they've all heard it. That's why world evangelism is so important to me. We've got to get the word out so that they don't perish. We love them. We don't hate them. No. Okay. That scared me to death. The thing went blank. Now it's half blue and half white. I don't know what's going on. Did y'all ever heard of Oral Roberts University? They made it to the Sweet 16 in March Madness, NCAA Finals, the tournament. They made it to the Sweet 16. A 15 seed made it to the Sweet 16. And they were one shot away from going to the Elite Eight. And there was articles about them. People crucified them. They hated them. Why? Well, because to play a sport, I had to sign one too, not that one, but theirs is really strict. You have to sign a code of conduct, a paper that tells that you cannot live an ungodly life. You're not going to go represent Oral Roberts University and act like a heathen. They just, and one quote in that, one line in that thing turned the whole world against Oral Roberts University. They said that you could not live a homosexual lifestyle and play basketball for Oral Roberts University. Boy. Thought I'd get a rise out of that, but didn't. You see, we're looking for life. in dead places. The world looks at us as being crazy because we're representing what the Word of God says. We don't hate people, but we are called to a higher standard where we have to say, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to do it. But Oral Roberts persecuted. Guy's being persecuted. He's been dead for 20 years. You know, he was crazy when he was alive, and he's still crazy. That's what the world says. But he's got a university that still bears his name. He must have done something right. How many of y'all, I know y'all heard about this. I know y'all have heard about this. The Satan shoe. The Satan shoe has a pentagram on it and has 666 on the laces or somewhere. And then it's got a drop of human blood in the sole. Call it the Satan shoe. They only made 666 pairs of them, and they were $1,018 a pair. They sold out in less than a minute. Yeah, Corey's got a pair on in church. No, I'm joking. He's not. Yeah. You better go on PGIM and say some good stuff about me. That celebrated Christian basketball team shunned. That's the way the world looks at us. They look at us like we're crazy. I can't believe and then you really want to say something. Mention Trump. Man, you're really nuts now. You know, I mean, I'm not going to get into politics or anything like that, but, you know, that's just Joe Biden's speech. But, you know, if you really, never mind. Oh, there are men for years and years all over the world that have said this. Hey, I speak for God. God told me. I'm the prophet. I'm the guy. You want me to name a few of them? Confucius, Buddha, Muhammad. They all said they spoke for God. But you know what? They're all dead, so I guess they don't. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. There's only one that resurrected, that defeated death. So those people can't talk about resurrection life because they've never experienced it. And they never will. Because they proclaimed to be Jesus, basically. They've complained to be... said that they are the Messiah. They are the one. They're the great prophet. They're this. They ain't going to make the long ride. Y'all know that, right? Not that I hate them. Not that I'm upset with them. But if I believe the Bible, they're toast, man. Burnt toast. I mean, they're not going to make it. And not that they're bad people. But they were just looking for life in the wrong place. They were looking for life in a dead place, and death consumed them. Thank God for resurrection life. Jesus is the only one that defeated death, and so he's the only one that celebrated. Ah, man. Woo! Did you know? In Numbers, the verse, all these people that proclaim to speak for God. I got a cool story. It's in the book of Numbers, the 16th and 17th verse. It's you know, Moses had a brother, and his name was Aaron. And Moses made him the high priest. And people were going, hey, man, it's not, the 12 tribes of Israel came. Hey, that ain't fair, man. You're making your brother the high priest, and that's just not right. We believe that we should pick who the high priest is. So Moses said, he said, fine. Let me talk to God and I'll get back to you. So he went and spoke to God. And then this is what God told him to do. And then he told the people, he said, all right, I want one representative from each tribe. But from the tribe of Levi, Aaron's going to be the guy. And I want y'all to get all y'all's names together and meet me back here tomorrow morning. This is all in Numbers 16 and 17. It's pretty cool. And so they all came, and he said he got sticks. Hey, actually, it was a almond tree, almond stick. And he broke them, and he put the name of every person, like if you were from such and such tribe, he put your name on there. You know, Bob, Rocky, CJ. You know, he put all these names. He wrote their names that represented the 12 tribes. But for the book of Levi, the tribe of Levi, he put Aaron. And he said, all right, this is what we're going to do. They brought a stick dead on both ends. That's what happens. You get a stick and it's dead on both ends. And so he said, all right, we're going to put these things in the Ark of the Covenant. And in 3 days, we're going to come back. We're going to pull these things out, and God's going to do something crazy. So they put them in there, and when they got it out, they laid them all out on the ground. And every stick was still dead, except for one. Aaron's. And his had bloomed and produced almonds. You see, to stand the test of time, to say, you know what, I speak for God, there's got to be resurrection life in you. Amen. You can't do it. That stick was resurrected and Aaron became the high priest at that point. You see, there's got to be a process that you go to find out who you listen to. If we're speaking hate and we're speaking evil things, we're not who God called us to be. Trust me, I've had to live through this because stuff makes me real mad. You know, I've got a fuse that's about that long. That's too long. I got mad at a guy one time. This has been a long time ago. And I said, you better watch what you say because I'm about this saved right now. That was the end of that deal. Because he knew I was serious. But, you've got to know who to listen to because that's what's going to feed you, and you don't want the wrong things feeding you because it'll be dead and there'll be no life to it. There'll be no resurrection in it. Are you following what I'm saying? Man, I hope so because that's going to be some good stuff here in a little bit. All the visitors are going, what did he say? The name of this sermon, what is the name of this sermon? Looking for life? Looking for life in all the wrong places. I don't want you singing, Greg. I don't want you singing. Just shut up. In love, shut up. Shut up now. Oh, so how do you find your life on purpose? Because so many people, they accidentally do life. I'm going to say it again. A lot of people accidentally live their life. They think that whatever hand they're dealt, they just got to play it. They don't know that they can re-rig the deck. You know, That's what we've got with resurrection life. If we've got Jesus, we can change the circumstances that we're in. Other people don't believe that. They believe that they've got to live in their circumstance, and so they say stuck in it and stuck in it and stuck in it, can't put the pieces of their life together, can't live successfully because they think that they've got to live with the circumstances. I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can change your circumstance. Man, I'm telling you, He's changed mine. But anyway, where was I? Goodness gracious, I got... Oh, how to find your life on purpose. Number one is the cross. You don't see crosses up here, you know, because you will not ever see a crucifix anywhere attached to me or attached to anything that I do, because Jesus ain't on that thing. He's risen. So I just don't do it. But the cross has great importance to us. God could have done this thing any way that He chose. Why choose the cross? Why? That's a pretty terrible way to treat your son, isn't it? Well, he made his son go through it so you don't have to. He was thinking about you. He wasn't thinking about him. He was the sacrifice. He was the lamb that was slain. He was the perfect sacrifice. He was the only person on planet Earth that could bring resurrection life. So he chose the cross. And the thing is, what a lot of people don't understand, was Jesus was never supposed to make it to the cross. When he got beat with those 39 striped cat of nine tails, his guts were hanging out. He wasn't supposed to make it to the cross. He wasn't supposed to make it up that hill. It wasn't supposed to happen that way. But he made it. And he died on that cross. Why? Because his death had to be just as big as his life was. So that resurrection. Hey, I saw them beat that dude. Man, his guts were hanging out. He was buck naked and his guts were hanging out. And then he made up and he got on the cross and now he's alive. Hey, his death had to be just as big as the life that he lived. I tell people all the time, you know, I'm fixing to get in trouble. But, you know, somebody said, we're talking about death. And I said, you know what, I don't want to die in a hospital. I don't want to die at home. I don't want to, you know, I want to do something cool. I want to get killed in like a bear attack. I want to get eaten by a lion or something. You know, my great-great-great-great-grandkids, my great-great-granddaddy, he was eaten by a lion while he's standing up preaching on a stump out in Africa and a lion attacked him. Isn't that a cool death? You know, I want my death to mean something, you know? I want to go out cool. I want to go out like, hey, that's the way I need to go. You know, I can see myself, you know, seeing a lion facing him down. I'm reaching my pocket to get my case pocket knife. Okay, here we go. You know, you ain't got a chance. But, you know, it would be cool to go out that way. But Jesus went out with a death as big as his life. And when he was resurrected, it made a statement that has lasted for over 2,000 years. You cannot have life without resurrection life. You can't get there without going through him. You can hear what Confucius says, Muhammad says, Buddha says, Joe says, whoever. You can't get there without him. And on the rapture, we'll be cruising, bro. But there's going to be a lot of people left in the grave. Why? Because I listened to the guy that was resurrected, not the one that was in the grave. Looking for life in dead places will get you absolutely no. I didn't mean to go into that thing about my... It was brutal. It was bloody. But his resurrection was even more divine. But another thing that's important about a cross is when I sin, and I do, just like everybody, he crosses it out as if it never happened. Because of that day. Because of what happened on that day. It happened 3 days later. Jesus crosses out that sin as if it never happened. You know, what the cool thing about God is He doesn't see it and He doesn't remember it. He said, your sins and your iniquities I remember no more. What we tend to forget about resurrection, about Easter, is this. In the Old Testament, when someone sinned, they would have to take the blood of an animal, and it would cover their sin. So God couldn't see it. That was their belief. But when Jesus came, His blood washed away the sin. He didn't cover it. He washed it away with no penalty to us. There's only a reward for us. There's no penalty. It's not covered. It's gone. And God can't remember it. The problem is, we do. We remember our sin. And everybody remembers my sin. Just look on Facebook. You know, we need to learn to forget. You need to have what I call spiritual Alzheimer's, where you just can't remember your sin. Man, when I come here and I leave it here, it's left. I don't carry it with me anywhere else. I don't let it follow me around. I don't let it keep me from achieving what I'm supposed to do next. It's gone. God don't see it. I don't see it. God don't remember it. I'm going to do my best to forget it, and I'm going to move forward. That's what Paul said. He said, forgetting those things which are behind but pressing forward. Little big rearview mirror, big windshield. What do you want to live in, this or this? It's up to you. You know what I mean? So, anyway. Let me go. This is really making me uncomfortable. Can you tell?
Yeah.
It is. It's really making me uncomfortable. Yeah, it does look cool, but I just don't know what I'm doing. Go to number 17:4. When the story I told you about Aaron and Moses, it's pretty cool that he said, I'm going to go talk to God, and then I'm going to find out what to do. That's what Moses said. I'm going to go talk to God, and I'm going to come back here tomorrow, and we're going to decide, I'm going to tell you what God said we're going to do. So, this is what happened. He said, then you shall place him on the tabernacle before the testimony where I meet with you. God wanted a familiar place that He met with Moses on a regular basis. Number two, don't miss your appointment. If you miss your appointment, you miss your assignment, and you miss your life, and you jigsaw puzzle. Everywhere. You've got to make an appointment to meet with God. Where I meet you. Come to where I meet you. See, most people don't want God to come and meet them somewhere instead of them going to God and meeting with Him. God, come here and do that. No, you go to Him. He'll meet you halfway. He'll meet you all the way if you're just stubborn like me sometimes. But meet with Him. If you meet with Him, you will not miss your chance in life. You will not miss your appointment. What's your appointment? Sometimes it's just being here. I'm not going to miss a move of God in church because I'm not here. I'm not going to miss a chance for unforgiveness to come because I wasn't here. I'm not going to miss my appointment in prayer. I'm not going to miss my appointment in fasting. I know that's not popular, but hey. I do. I'm not going to miss my appointment in praise and in worship. You've got to understand that prayer, praise, worship, church service, all of fasting, all of these things just connect you to God. Right? They connect you to God. But while you're there, determines your future with God. You can get there and miss it. I'm going to say that again. You can get there, but unless you're in it with your whole heart, you're seeking God desperately, seeking God, you're going to miss it. You're not going to be, unless you're seeking Him, you're not going to miss it. Did I say that backwards? I guess I said it too fast, nobody caught it. Don't miss your appointment. And this one, the next one is boy, people are not going to like this one, but it's true. It's true. It's true. Go to John, the 11th chapter. This is what I started off with. I got them backwards. John 11, 35 through 37. This is Lazarus. This is Lazarus' thing. They said to God, Jesus wept. It said Lazarus was dead. So Jesus cried. Why? Proving that he's got feelings. Human feelings. Next. The Jews said, see how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Mary came to Jesus. If you were here, he wouldn't have died. Martha came. If you would have been here, he would. They were complaining, I think. I think it was a statement of who you are, Jesus. Yes, we know that you're the Lord and everything. But you know what? We tried to get a hold of you last week, and you just didn't respond. Didn't show up. But if you'd been here, See, that is a picture of life today. Number three, God is not a preventionist. He is a resurrector. Why did God do this to me? God didn't do that to you. Well, why did he allow it? That's the one I always used. Because I knew I was supposed to, growing up, I knew I wasn't supposed to question God, so I wouldn't say that. I said, well, why did he allow it? He is God, you know. He can do whatever he wants to. No, he can't. He is bound by his word. He can't operate outside of his word. So anyway, you know, why didn't you prevent this, God? Why didn't you stop this? Well, if you would have been here, he wouldn't have died. He would have been okay. I know that you would have done something to prevent his demise. They didn't know Jesus had a plan the entire time. If you think God is going to prevent everything from happening as it does in life, you're still going to have that mixed table stuff. Because you know what? He is a resurrection God. He is a deliverance God. When you get yourself in trouble, he'll get you out if you turn to him. When you get yourself in a situation that you can't get out of, turn to him and he'll get you out of it. Just because, you know, I have an addictive personality, so I try not to, back before I was saved, I was addicted to a lot of stuff. But, you know, but since I met Jesus, I don't have that because it's a spirit of addiction. I don't have that anymore. I don't have that spirit of addiction. And so with that being said, the only way to get out of that spirit of addiction was to turn to the resurrection God and say, hey, get me out of this. Not prevent me from doing this. Get me out of this. People think that God, you look at the insurance. Act of God. Most ludicrous thing I've ever seen in my life. You know, I remember when Katrina came, and they said, well, you know what? New Orleans is a sinful city. That's the wrath of God. You idiot. No, it's not. God don't do that. He poured out his wrath on Jesus so he wouldn't have to pour it out on us anymore. Why do people think it's the wrath of God, the wrath of God? You don't know squat about the wrath of God. If you don't know about the wrath of God, ask Jesus about it. He poured out his wrath on him, and it pleased God to do so, so that he would never have to pour it out on you. That's a whole message in itself. But people go, oh, I don't believe that. Well, look at the Bible. It says it there. I didn't create this. I didn't make this up. It's in the Bible. Go to Isaiah 55 and just read it, and you see what all Jesus did for you on that day. A lot more than you think. It's not just about sins. It's about peace of mind. It's about wrath. It's about, there's so many deliverance. It's about so many different things. Jesus didn't come for one thing. You think Jesus came for one thing? He's bigger than that. He didn't come to partially deliver you. But he's not going to prevent things either. But once you get into a situation, that's why the Christian walk is so important. It's just that, you know, this thing comes over here and this thing comes from here. But when you go to him, he's already covered everything. He's already washed everything away. And you just depend on him. And that is when you start to put the pieces together. I mean, I know a guy. He died not long ago. I knew a guy. He died not long ago. And I called his uncle. And he said, I said, what happened? And he told me, he said, you know, I don't know. He said, but you know those people that have all the life skills and just can't put them together? He said, that's who he was. That's who he was. I said, man, I didn't say he needed Jesus, because you don't say that to somebody's uncle when he's died, you know. I mean, but the people that have got it together are usually the ones that tell you, hey, I don't have it all together. You know why? Because they're working on it. People that don't come, whatever comes, hey man, I'm good. No regrets, blah, blah. I've got a million regrets in my life. Like, reminds me of that movie, what was it? They said no, had a tattoo on No Regrets, and it was called No Regrets. Yeah, it's so funny. But that's a regret in itself, not checking your spelling. Oh, gosh. Oh, people get so mad when there's a great loss or a disappointment in life. But you know what? There's resurrection coming. There's resurrection life. That's what this whole day is about. That's what Jesus' entire life was about. It wasn't about sin. It wasn't about deliverance. It was about everything that you could be resurrected from. Got me? Okay. All right. I'm very uncomfortable with this. God. All right, number four. I've got them numbered today. This is crazy. Number four, when Jesus walked up to the Lazarus tomb, and he just said this. He said, "Roll away the stone." And Martha jumped up and said, "Hey, we don't need to do that. He's been dead for 4 days. There's a stench. He stinks, and we ain't doing this." So you can see, just so you can see him one time, there's a stench. Let me tell you something. There's a stench about sin. Even that may go, there's something that makes people just, you know, I don't know about that. Even though God forgave them and moved on, people keep, there's a stench about it. There's something wrong with it. You know what? That stinks. I don't care what he's doing now. I know what he did to so-and-so 15 years ago. 20 years ago. I'm not 15. 20 years ago or better. More than 20 years ago. They don't forget. Why? Because sin has a stench. Sin has a stink to it that people with unforgiveness can't unsmell. So anyway, what is a stone? A stone can be a number of things. It can be doubt, unbelief, fear, anger, disappointment, addiction, whatever it is. You know what? You have to make an attempt to roll away that stone so you can get to Jesus. You know, you've got to make an attempt. You know, everybody that I know that was saved, that was in addiction or something like that, they had to make an attempt to get to God. I've never met any, and we deal with a lot of, with Teen Challenge a lot, and thank God for our Generation House lady. But, yeah, whoop, whoop. They're the loud group. They're, but not a one of them say this. Not a one of them. Man, that program saved my life. They always say, Jesus saved my life. Teen Challenge is just a discipleship program to get people right with God, and all that other stuff just falls off. That's what it is. I've never seen anybody that finished it and said, boy, that was a waste of time. They just don't do it. And let me tell you what, it ain't easy. It's like 6 years of Bible college in 1 year, you know. I mean, you're constantly studying, you're not in the best situation. It's kind of, you know, first time I went to see Jordan down there, I said, my gosh, I couldn't live here. Boy, I said, you know what, I'm believing God that she's going to make it, but I know I couldn't. Joel told me one time, he said, I'd just flunk out. Couldn't do it. Just couldn't do it. You know, because you're not there for comfort. You're there for comfort. You're not there to be comfortable, but you're there for comfort. It's to get that relationship right with Jesus so that you won't live in a jigsaw puzzle for the rest of your life. It's to get everything put back together. It's to get everything right. And the only way that that happens is, Generation House ladies will tell you, it's relationship. It's relationship. I don't get. I've known several people that were addicted to heroin, and it's a tough thing to get off of. Something about that vein, something about that blood. It's so hard to stay off of. I've seen so many people relapse and think they can take the same amount and then die. It's just terrible. It's awful. But when you say, you know what? Heroin, no more. I'm with Jesus now. That's when deliverance comes. That's when resurrection comes. That's when you can start living your life again. When you say, addiction, I'm done with you. I'm on the Jesus train now. I'm not with you. You're going to stay out of my life. I mean, they speak to the sin. Heroin, no more. Cocaine, no more. I'm with Jesus. That's when life begins. That's when you can start living your life again. That's when you start putting the pieces back together. And it takes a while. But you know what? Success comes from consistency with Jesus. Always. Always. You can't do Christianity part-time and expect to see success. It's got to be a lifestyle, not an act of going and doing something. It's got to be a lifestyle change. You can't come to church, you know, and just muddle through the things. You know, I mean, I'm sure we've got a lot of some visitors here this morning. They probably think we're crazy. I'm even more so now. But during praise and worship, people up there had. I looked down there and Joel was on his knees and looked over and Izzy was praising God. I said, got it together. I've got it together. They wouldn't be here if I wouldn't have done something 20-something years ago. They may have missed it because I missed it. I don't want that to happen to my kids. You don't want that to happen to your kids. You want to be able to put your marriage back together, put your family back together, get in church, make God the center of your life, and then all that stuff starts coming together. All of it. It's not about going to church. It's about being the church. You can't just show up every when you want to and say, "Oh yeah, praise God." Woo! You can tell that and see this. I figured it out. Charismatics, man, we're up here like this. Assemblies of God, they do this. You notice that? Yeah, they do. They do this. Everybody looks at us, all of us, like we're crazy. But you know what? The ones that are complaining, the ones got their hand in their pocket like this. I'd rather openly praise God and be criticized than sit in a room and not praise God and miss Him. I'm not saying you have to do that. I'm just saying don't criticize people that do, because I got to have that. I gotta have that, or I'm just gonna starve. You know, it's just part of who I am. Oh, we had to talking about rolling away the stone. I don't know why I'm on Generation House today, but you know, because it's so darn good. You know, it's just so good. These ladies go through a year, year and a half, 2 years, however long they stay, you know, because some of them don't ever want to leave because they're scared they're going to go back in their addiction because they've been living in dead places their whole life. They're scared they're going to fall back into it. So we gave them a place that they were safe, that they weren't surrounded by the drug culture. They weren't surrounded by, you know, they were surrounded by people that have been through the program, that are living life, that are successful, that are happily married, that are, you know, I hope happy. I know, I'm joking. They're newlyweds. They got to be happy. But, you know, and you see the transformation. Look back at the pictures of where they were when they went into the program. Sarah Myers, her picture is the worst one ever. You know, like this, and her hair is all sticking out. And now she's got a huge ministry. I mean, she goes into the jails, into the bars, into the, you know, she brings life to dead places. That's where we've got to strive to be, not trying to find our life in dead places, but changing life in dead places. That's what resurrection's about. Jesus was in the graveyard, but He was alive. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Where? In a dead place. We've got to get to the point where we got all the pieces together that we can go into the dead places and bring life. That's the difference in this and then. That's the difference. For those of y'all that don't like to raise your hands, don't get mad at me. I'm just saying, you know. That's just where I have to live. Let's stop looking for life in dead places and start bringing life to dead places. Romans 8:11 says this. It said, "The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So the things that you did, things that He did, you can do it too." If you don't believe me, read John 14:12. It says, "The things that I do, you'll be able to do, and even greater things." So whatever Jesus did, I can do it. Whatever Jesus did, you can do it. Did I say that right? So what did Jesus do? Everywhere He went, He brought life. So everywhere that you go, you need to bring life with you. Because there's nobody, you may be the only person in that room that's got resurrection power within inside of you. In that room. I've gone in some bad rooms, man. I went in the room one time, and they called in the family guy's going to die. I said, he ain't going to die, y'all. Chill out. And just watch what God's going to do. I laid hands on him. 2 days later, he's out. I see him at Hamburger Happy, and he's eating a hamburger. You've got. If I wouldn't have went in that room, and not because of me, but because of the life that I brought to the room, that guy's still alive today. Doctor said, done. Call the family and tell them to say goodbye. See, that's any kind of way I'm going to be. Somebody's going to call Ginger and say, Ginger, Paul got ate by a lion. Got killed in a bear attack. Got eaten by a pack of squirrels. whole herd of them just attacked him. Now that would be a cool story, wouldn't it? That would be a great story. That's what I loved telling the story of David and Goliath. And he said that he grabbed a lion by the beard and killed him. I wouldn't grab a squirrel by the beard. You hear me? David was a man when he was a little guy. I mean, if I was little, I'd have probably tried it. But now that I'm smarter or older, less scared or more scared. See, what the older you get, the more scared you become. Man, when I was 6 years old, I was on my way to the moon. I was going to be Neil Armstrong, man. I was going to be an astronaut. Astronaut. Astros are going to hell too. It says the thief comes to steal, kill, steal, Astro, steal, thief. They're a bunch of thieves. Can't trust on one of them. They're still better than the Yankees. Yeah, I know. Boy, this thing's doing all kind of crazy stuff. I don't know where I'm at. It is a user. It's the user, it's not the machine. I promise you that. But let's bring resurrection life. That's what we've got to do. We've got to bring resurrection life. If that resurrection life is in you, you've got to share it so you can take that resurrection life to dead places instead of dead places taking the life out of you. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. You may be here, man, you're dealing with addiction, you're dealing with unforgiveness, dealing with, your marriage may be in trouble, your kids may have some issues, whatever. You know, I don't want to pray for you. I do. We've got a lot of people here today, and so what we're going to do is, if you need prayer, just raise your hands. Don't do this. Raise your hand. And I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, I speak to addiction and tell it has to go. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I just speak marriages stronger. Marriage is stronger. Relationship with your children, stronger. Stronger. Father, I thank you that you brought resurrection life to this earth, Father, than I partook of it. Father, so I won't see death. I will cross from death unto life. That we can cross from death unto life, Father. I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. And you know what? If there's somebody here that, has been far from God, it's easy to get far from God. It is. We've been far from God or just have never really met him face to face. Have you never done it? I want to pray for you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, I just speak to these people here today, Father, that have been far from you, Father, that want to return unto you, Father, that you always welcome them back with open arms, Father. I thank you for that. And I want everybody here to say this. Repeat after me, everybody. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for resurrection life. And I'm going to live my life from this day forward, for you. My life is not about me anymore. It's all about Jesus. Amen, amen, amen. Hey, you need prayer?